The Senate will come to order. Will everyone in the Senate and the upper galleries please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, the Reverend Gauck, and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely together to do the work that you have called us to do. During this session interrupted, we have been challenged and called to think outside the box, and that has not always been comfortable. These days are filled with frustration and concerns about our future as a state and the country. So we ask that you guide us and direct our thoughts and actions this afternoon so that we might do what is most helpful for the people of the state and bring to a close this special session. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle, Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kavanaugh, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayor, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 26th. Quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, would you please read the journal from the 9th day?
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, first extra
Senator
session.
Senator from the 23rd, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I move for the reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved, so having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have passed that motion. Madam Secretary, would you please read the journal from the 10th day?
Journal of the Senate, first regular session.
Senator from the 23rd, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I move that further reading of that journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have passed that motion. Madam Secretary, please read the journal from the 11th day.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, first extra session.
Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, I move that further reading of that journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have passed that motion. Madam Secretary, please read the journal from the 12th day.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, first extra session.
From the 23rd, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I move the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have passed that motion. Madam Secretary, please read the journal from the 13th day.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, first extra session.
Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, I move for the reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have passed that motion. Order of business. Introduction of guests. Introduction of guests. Senator from the 34th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduction of special guests. I have...
Can we please come to order and have some quiet in the Senate? The Senator from the 34th, please introduce your guests.
Thank you. On your left and on my right, on the bench over to the side, I have Mr. and Mrs. Pecora, Mary and Ben from St. Joseph. They're constituents from my hometown.
Will the guests of the Senator from the 34th please stand, and let's welcome them to the Senate chamber. Thank you for coming. Further introduction of guests. Introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Resolutions. Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you rise?
I have a resolution.
Send the resolution forward, please.
I would ask, Mr. President, that it be read. It's short. It be printed in the journal.
Senator, you asked that it does be read?
Yes.
Okay. That it will be read? Seeing no objection, Madam Secretary, please have the resolution read.
Senate Resolution Number 177, offered by Senator Schmidt. Whereas Missouri has an extensive history of supporting our military and strengthening our nation, and whereas our military personnel and their families receive peace of mind from the fact that they have the F/A-18EF, which is the most capable next-generation multi-role strike fighter flying in combat today, ensuring their safety, protecting our nation, and securing peace around the world. And whereas the F/A-18E-F is the most capable multi-role strike fighter in production today and will continue to provide air superiority to the United States and its allies for the next generation. And whereas over 24,000 retirees and over 15,000 hardworking employees in Missouri contribute to the success of programs like the F/A-18EF. And whereas in 2010, 969 Missouri suppliers had purchases of approximately $764 million worth of supplies for programs such as the F/A-18EF, further contributing to the sustainability of Missouri jobs and making a substantial economic impact on Missouri. And whereas the United States invested in a multi-year procurement of F/A-18EF aircraft in 2010, continuing through 2014, which will save the taxpayer over $818 million. And whereas every F/A-18EF aircraft has been delivered to our military on time and at cost, providing the only capable and affordable multi-strike fighter today. And whereas limiting the production of the F/A-18EF program would cause an adverse economic impact to Missouri, now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the members of the Missouri Senate, 96th General Assembly, First Extraordinary Session, hereby urge the United States Congress to recognize the importance of the F/A-18EF to the state of Missouri, our military, and our national security, and support the continued production and full funding of the F/A-18EF program. And be it further resolved that the Secretary of the Missouri Senate be instructed to prepare properly inscribed copies of this resolution for the President of the United States, the Presidents of the United States Senate, and the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives, and each member of the Missouri Congressional Delegation.
Senator from the 15th, would you care to explain that resolution?
Thank you, Mr. President. Recently, there's been some news about a resolution that passed in the House. Myself, along with at least the 25 other senators that have signed on to that, and others who I didn't get a chance to talk to prior to being sent up, can still sign on to that. We want to make it clear to Congress and the state how important Boeing and its contributions to this state are. Just to read off some brief statistics, the vendor and supply locations that Boeing makes purchases from in Missouri alone, 969. The supplier-vendor purchases that I referenced total $764 million, supporting an additional 30,000 direct and indirect jobs in our state. There are 15,187 Boeing employees in the state. There are 19,852 retirees in the state. And Boeing makes charitable contributions in excess of $13 million. Boeing is a critical piece to this economic development puzzle that is part of our growth strategy here. And letting everyone understand how critical those jobs are and that employer is and the relationship they've had with business and labor and being a leader in our state and in the St. Louis area is something that we just wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of here in special session. With that, Mr. President, I'd like to inquire the Senator from the 1st.
Senator from the 1st, for what purpose do you rise?
No, Mr. President.
Mr. President, I was yielding.
May I inquire the Senator?
Oh, you'd like to inquire. Senator from the 1st, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I know that as we talked a little bit earlier, you had also wanted to move forward and make it known how important Boeing is really to our state and to the area that we represent in St. Louis and St. Louis County.
I appreciate, Senator, that you offering this resolution. You beat me to the punch, and I will not be offering mine. You certainly covered all the points that are important, as far as I know how I feel and you do, and I'm sure many of our colleagues, in this body, what kind of corporate citizen Boeing has been, over the years, and it's important that we show our support. So I certainly appreciate you doing so, and again, thank you for offering the resolution and inquiring of me.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the St. Francis, for what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire the senator from the 15th?
Senator from the 15th, you yield?
I do.
He what does. Proceed.
The what 15th? What was that?
15th?
No, I thought you said something before that. No. The proper 15th or something. No. I don't know what that meant. I was worried for a second.
You know how I've hated the official state Missouri ice cream and the official state? I'm getting that way on resolutions.
Sure.
Now I'm going to vote for your resolution because I'll look stupid if I don't. But I got to tell you, it may be coming time next spring to do the same thing as we've done with the official, and that is just plan on filibustering, because in the 9 years I've been here, I don't think I've ever seen any resolution do any good. But this one is a great example of one that can get you in trouble. Is this the official crow legislation or resolution?
The official what?
Crow, that we get to eat the crow from the House.
I don't know. Look, this isn't any... My reasoning for this is, I think there's maybe been some confusion as to how Boeing is viewed in the state. And I just want to make it clear. And I'm confident, I don't know for certain if they would go along with this, if it left this chamber and went over there. I'm really not trying to lob any bombs.
I
just want to make it clear
now,
that we value.
In hindsight, the way they looked kind of peculiar, supporting a resolution against one of our biggest manufacturers in the state of Missouri, I don't know if they weren't thinking or they didn't pay attention or somebody just says, hey, it's a resolution, it won't do anything, just vote for it or whatever. But I'm going to support your resolution, but I hope that in the spring we examine the different resolutions. And I think there is a need for one of this one because of the fact that we've sent the wrong signal to one of our best corporate citizens. But in the future, some of these ones that we think we're going to tell the federal government what to do when I don't think they could figure out what to do if they had a roadmap. So,
well, as my mom once told me, it's never too late to do the right thing.
That's right.
So here we are.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, the resolution will be printed in the journal. Further resolutions? Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Photographers from KMIZ, ABC 17, and Missouri News Horizon have given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today. Mr. President, would you recognize the senator from Stoddard on a privilege motion?
Senator from Stoddard, you are recognized for a privilege motion.
Mr. President, before I go to that privilege motion, could I refer Senate Resolution 60 to Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics?
That resolution will be so referred.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have a privilege motion.
Proceed.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate refuse to concur, request the House to recede from its position and take up and pass Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill number 8.
You've heard the motion, Senator. Would you care to explain that motion?
Certainly, Mr. President. As everyone is aware, last week we gathered as a Republican caucus, and at that time, we were determined to take Senate Bill number 8 to conference and conference with the House. But since that time, there's been some events and actions that have taken place that really would create a situation where it would be fruitless for us to move forward with the Senate substitute. We all know that last Tuesday, when we came out of caucus to make that decision, that the next day the House came into technical session, and they ruled that they would meet again this coming Wednesday, which is October 19th, and go into session on October 20th. And so it was our hope, my hope, that if we were to conference, that that conference could take place this evening, that the House would come into session this evening. We'd have the opportunity to conference tonight and tomorrow to come to some kind of resolution and finish the business of the economic development bill. However, they elected to come into technical session this Wednesday and actually go into session on Thursday, October 20th, and that would push the conference into the next week. It's my understanding that they had members that were going to be on the negotiating team, are going to be on the conference committee, and those people, those representatives would not be available much of next week. And as we all know, Speaker Tilley and the House leadership has reiterated time and time again that they do not want to place a seven-year sunset on low-income housing tax credit program or the historic preservation tax credit program. It's my understanding that we have members here within this body that have had conversations with the Speaker and the House leadership, and they have reiterated that they do not and will not go with a seven-year sunset on those two programs that cost the state $250 million a year. And I think it's very clear that back several weeks ago, last month, that this body, in a bipartisan fashion, passed by a vote of 26-8, both Republican and Democrats voting for the economic development bill to move forward. That bill had seven-year sunsets on it, and so the refusal of the House to consider that seven-year sunset makes any effort to go to conference a fruitless effort, meaningless effort. And so I believe that at this point that the differences between the House and the Senate on the economic development tax credit reform bill are irreconcilable, that they cannot be resolved over the little bit of time that still remains in this special session. And I don't believe the differences can be worked out. And so that's the reason behind my motion to refuse to concur and request the House to recede from its position and take up and pass Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 8.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from Stoddard.
Senator from Stoddard, do you yield?
Certainly.
He does. Proceed.
I do apologize. I was in the round room not discussing economic development. And I am facing the president as I talk. The big difference is the sunsets and the caps.
The big difference is the sunsets. That's correct. There's some other differences that, you know, we may or may not have been able to resolve. The House left out most of the Compete Missouri program that we had in the Senate version. They had made some revision to the Quality Jobs program, and some have termed that as Quality Jobs Light. There also was an extension on the land assemblage interest payments. There was also an extension of the sales tax holiday, a reduction in the corporate income tax. Also, there was a provision put into the bill there in the House that would create a review committee that would review all the different tax credit programs. And that was a provision that, after studying, really doesn't do what they had hoped that it would do, and that would be to avoid a filibuster or avoid an opportunity to have those programs voted on by both full bodies. That review process would not do that. They also did have a difference in the cap on low income. They had it at $110 million. We had a bill that started at $110 million, reduced it to 97, stepped it down to 84, and then down to 70 million. There probably was room to compromise there and work in that area. They also had a couple other provisions. They took out some safeguards for CPA certification and the historic upfront funding. They also didn't include a clawback. We had a clawback in our in our bill that gave the administrative agencies the ability to get money back for bad actors who didn't follow the rules or criteria set forth. So those are some things. Also, there was a Joplin commercial property provision in there that we didn't have, which would have allowed the county the discretion on whether to treat them differently than residential property. In other words, allow the locals there in Joplin to determine whether to treat commercial different than residential property. But the big issue, the big hang-up, certainly is a seven-year sunset.
I'm not going to inquire much longer, but you said something about CPAs?
Yes.
What did they do with CPAs?
Well, there is a provision in the bill that would make CPAs, certified public accountants, certify certain upfront funding in projects. In other words, a CPA would have to certify that and submit it to the Department of Economic Development.
Okay. The way you said it, it sounded like they were changing some of the criteria for CPAs.
It was just a safeguard that we had put in the bill.
All right.
But I don't think that was something that couldn't be overcome.
No, I understand the issue. I would have known the issue, and you've explained it, but I think my invitation to the majority caucus was lost in the mail, so that's why I wasn't there last week or there today, so I just wanted to get an update on what transpired in the caucus.
Certainly. I'll do what I can, Senator, to make sure
my
that,
mailbox,
that
I was
doesn't happen
that
again.
Invite. It wasn't there, but it was lost in the mail. Thank you.
You can just call me, and I'll fill you in on what happened.
Further discussion. Senator from Saline, for what purpose do you rise?
I inquire the Senator from Stoddard.
Senator from Stoddard, you yield?
Certainly.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, can you remind me what the scoring on the two bills were, the savings?
Yes. On the bill that came out of the Senate, it was $947 million worth of savings to the state of Missouri over a 15-year period. And if my memory serves me correctly, the House version would actually cost the state an additional, I think it was, $311 million. So there was a difference of the Senate version saving the state $947 million over 15 years. The House version would actually cost the state an additional $311 million.
Thanks, Senator.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Stoddard moves in a privileged motion to refuse to concur and requests the House to receive from its position. Take up and pass Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 8. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have passed that privileged motion. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading. Please recognize the Senator from St. Francois on House Committee substitute for House Bill 3.
House bills on third reading. The Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Committee substitute for House Bill 3 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Committee substitute for House Bill 3 be read a third time and finally passed. Mr. President, this bill has had an interesting road, and it's not over yet. We've still got a ways to go. We offered this bill in the spring to get rid of, to move the presidential primary from February to March so that the threat of our national parties not seating our delegates could be resolved. It was amended, substitute sent to the House. They brought it back, and we could never resolve the issue. Since then, we've had several developments happen, and there's going to be some interesting things happen here. I'm going to offer a substitute that eliminates the presidential primary, because if we're going to have a caucus, the cost to $6 to $8 million of the taxpayers, while in the spring, which will be cutting things like education and early childhood education and mental health, seems to make no sense now. But we're not taking it out for the future, because several people think that that's where it should be in the future. So we've put in here that it would just take it out for this time only. It would I'll give the substitute and send it forward, and we can talk about that, Mr. President.
Please send the Senate substitute forward.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator, would you care to make the motion to adopt that Senate substitute?
I would move for its adoption.
Senator from St. Francis moves the adoption of the Senate substitute.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, as I said, this is a change. What it does is three things. It cancels the presidential primary for 2012 to resume in 2016. It maintains February's date for the primary beginning in 2016 because I think it's a moving target where the primaries are going to be. I do believe it's crazy to let Iowa and New Hampshire with small, very small, not diverse populations decide who our presidential candidates are. And hopefully by 2016, we can resolve that and come up with a better situation. And the last thing, it removes a change that would raise the amount of potential presidential candidate from 1,000 to 5,000 for elections held on or before December 1st. So it removes that change. That's what it does. Mr. President, I have amendment I would like to offer.
Please send the amendment forward. Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Mr. President, the amendment has been distributed, and I would ask for a waiver of its reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator, would you care to explain the amendment?
Yes, after the moving target, as I said, when the bill was drafted today, it does not have an emergency clause. And I believe it has to have an emergency clause if whatever we decide, we'd have to have it implemented quickly. And so that's the reason that I offer the emergency clause as an amendment.
The senator from St. Francis moves Senate Amendment Number 1 to the Senate substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of the bill sponsor.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, you mentioned in your opening about cutting funding for education and that we should be doing whatever we can to save taxpayer dollars.
Three senators standing on the floor at the same time.
I'd like to raise a point of order on my colleague who was not taking the diet.
Can't turn all the way out, sir.
I was not. Mr. President.
We ask that the senators, even during special session, follow the rules of the Senate. Thank you very much, Senator from the 13th. Proceed.
Senator, I could do like I did for this, my colleague, the Senator from the 13th, and make you a mask that you could attach when you turn all the way around. But
that's all right. I'll just make sure I turn my head and not my body.
I don't think the general public, including the Secretary of State, including the Post-Dispatch, has any idea how much we're going to have to cut.
Okay.
Now, I heard her comments the other day on Missouri Net News, talking about how this is terrible, that, you know, and the money we spend for this is just well spent. And yet I would believe that she will be the first one if we cut early childhood education, elementary or secondary education, mental health will be on us saying that we cut these things, and it's terrible that we cut. The Post-Dispatch says it's a disgrace, and that yet when we cut something from social services, they will be the first ones to put our pictures in the paper saying that we are the House of Hypocrites, the Senate houses, or whatever, and yet they think that we should spend $6-8 million on something that's nothing more than a beauty contest. So that's what I'm referring to. I don't think the general public realizes the extent of the cuts that we're going to have to make in the spring, and this just would add another $6-8 million on top of it.
Well, that makes sense. Now, looking at the bill that we just sent back to the House, that our bill would have saved $900 million, which would help us along that way to fund education properly instead of putting maybe two tax credit programs above education. And last year in the Missouri budget, we cut higher education by 7%, and we're making our college students pay more. I think that maybe, hopefully, they look at the priorities that are on our budget, and I appreciate you for offering your amendment. I don't know if
you had an amendment on the original one, and I remember that would apply, saved our taxpayers a lot of money, too. But we've come down to the point where we've realized we've got to do something. And I'm not from the new Senate. I'm willing to offer this bill, and if the vote doesn't go my way, I will still carry the bill and vote. I might vote against it in the final analysis, but I will vote for the any amendments, up or down, whether I think that amendment is good or bad. And then at the end of the day, I will continue to offer the bill, go forward, and take this body's recommendation.
Well, Senator, I commend you for looking out for the taxpayers of the state of Missouri. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you rise?
To first inquire the Senator from St. Francis.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. So, quick question. The amendment that you have pending right now.
Yes.
If we adopt that amendment, which is an emergency clause, it does not preclude, I just want to, because we're going kind of quick here, doesn't preclude an amendment on.
That's okay. My understanding. I'm hoping the Secretary of the Senate is listening
okay.
to this.
Okay.
But my understanding would put an emergency clause no matter if another amendment was adopted, so we're good.
Okay. Thank you.
So do you have an objection to my amendment?
No.
Good. I'm glad you're on board.
No.
Further discussion. Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I close.
The Senator from St. Francis moved the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
Cards.
Guys appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
I will send it forward. I would ask for a waiver of the reading. It has been distributed.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain Senate Amendment Number 2?
I would. Okay, so here's where I think we're at on this. The senator from St. Francis has a substitute pending that would eliminate the presidential primary for this year in lieu of a caucus, and then would take us back to a presidential primary in 2016. I believe moving to a caucus system is a terrible idea. If we were sending folks to teach other countries how to build a democracy, under no circumstances would we tell them it's okay to get a group of party activists and elites in a closed room and decide who we want to have to be president of the United States of America. Moving in that direction, I think, robs most people of the ability to let their voice heard. And when I try and judge these things, I often think of my parents, who are Republicans, committed Republicans. Would they attend or be invited to or know about a caucus? And the answer to that is no. Do they have an opportunity to vote in a presidential primary? Yes. I want as many people as possible, the millions of people in this state, to have their voice be heard on who they think Missouri ought to elect president, to have its opinion heard, I should say, to be president of the United States. Now, I understand that the party, because of what didn't happen a few weeks ago, moved to a caucus to secure to make sure we have the delegates by way of a caucus system. That was the situation that they were put in. We have an opportunity right now to say, we believe allowing everyday, ordinary Missourians who are not going to be in that closed room, okay, to have a choice. And we want the party then to respond and do whatever they can do to get it changed through the party system to allow for a presidential primary in March. So what this amendment does, it says, thank you, Senator from St. Francis. We know you were trying to make this thing work, but the state of Missouri, its legislature, thinks allowing people to vote in a primary in 2012 is important. And in order to help let as many delegates be heard this summer, we want that date to be in March, not in February. I think this is an opportunity for us to do the right thing, to get rid of this caucus system, which I cannot believe that most people in this chamber believe that's the direction we ought to go, and we shouldn't be bullied into that either. So here we are with that. Mr. President, I'd answer any questions.
Senator from the senior senator from the second, from St. Charles, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire the senator from the 15th?
Senator from 15th, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I understand that you're trying to allow people's voice to be heard. Is that what you were saying? But wouldn't you think that by leading people down a path and letting them think that their voice is going to be heard, but having them vote in an election that means absolutely nothing, is not going to elect any delegates, that we're actually just kind of not educating them on how to really have their voice heard by attending a caucus. It is not a backroom deal. It's everyone can show up. It's open to the public, and they can, an individual can stand for election as a delegate. Shouldn't we be really being truthful with the voters and trying to educate them on, if they really want their voice to be heard, not to fall on deaf ears, that by we should not have this presidential primary vote, because even though it might sound good, it's not going to amount to anything?
Well, I don't think the only thing I disagree with you on that, Senator, is I don't think we know that to be the case. I don't think we know that the party cannot, through a waiver process, get to a point where that presidential primary will actually bind those delegates. We don't know that right now. What we have to operate is, what do we think the best system is? And do we really think a caucus is preferable to a presidential primary? I understand the concern of it.
We've had the caucus for years in this state, and it was only because Dick Eppard wanted to run for president that they changed it years ago. And then we went back to it, and we went not. So it's, you know, thousands, millions of Missouri voters have voted in a caucus system in our state's history. So I think we've allowed them to have their voice heard. And we do know, that one party has said this is how they're going to pick their delegates. So by proceeding down this path and continuing to have a primary that's not going to mean anything, we could just have people vote on the internet. I bet we could get a couple million people to vote, and it would mean the exact same thing. Or we could just have a automated phone poll.
Well, that's funny, because
want to say, hey, this is the person I'm with.
Well, that was my response when someone said, well, wait a minute, do we really want to spend $6 million? Actually, you know what? I think elections are important. And if that's what we're spending money on, that's what we're spending money on. Because I can't
They're
think
important
of,
if,
I can't
if
think
you're spending money for them to count.
But you don't know if it won't count.
I do know right now that one party that has a primary has said that their delegates are going to be chosen through the caucus system.
But I also know that people
that's
who
what we know.
Right. I know the people who advocated for the change. It wasn't, look, you know, I'm 36. When Dick Gephardt was doing whatever he was doing 15 years ago, whatever, I don't know. But I have read quotes of people in our party who thought that it was a good thing to move away from a closed caucus into an open primary. And to me, that's what's most important.
I mean, I just think that if you have an election that people think is going to mean something, then they go out and they vote, and all of a sudden it means nothing. The person that won that election might not even get all the votes from the Missouri delegates. And then we stick them with an $8 million tax bill and say, this is what it cost you, the taxpayer, to participate in this election that didn't mean anything. And your person you elected didn't even get that you thought you were electing, didn't even get the votes. I mean,
well, let's follow your worst case scenario for just one second. Worst case scenario is we have a caucus because that's what the party has said. But we also have a primary in advance of that theoretically wouldn't mean anything. I would actually argue.
And we waste $8 million.
Well, on those two points, let me address that. The first is, I actually think that if the millions of Missourians came out to the polls and said, we want Mitt Romney or we want Rick Perry, whoever, the senator from the 22nd was getting a little nervous with those names I threw out, but that would actually mean something to people
Ron
that were
Paul
going,
person, I think.
Ron Paul, that would mean something to those people going into the caucus. At least that voice would be heard. And as for the 6 million, look, if we're worried about costs for elections,
8 million, you just dropped
million,
it by 2
let's
million.
Let's just have election over the internet or in Aunt Jenny's barn or in 12 garages across the state. If we're that worried about money, I think elections are important.
Well, if you're worried about money is, I think what Amtrak's in your area, $8 million is what we spend on Amtrak. So if we have to cut Amtrak next year because we spent $8 million on a presidential primary that didn't mean a darn thing, is that the best thing?
Well, here's what I can promise you. The people of the 15th send a lot more money here than they ever get back. So if we want to pull out Amtrak, we can go district by district.
Maybe they can
ride Amtrak. I'll win that one.
Let's ride Amtrak to the caucus meeting.
So that
way everybody is
Have
good.
It at the train station here and save a lot of money. I think there are things that...
Is that we're on appropriations, and I mean, you and I, we're not going to convince each other of this, and I'll end this inquiry so as not to belabor it, but I just don't think we're going to probably agree on what's the best use of this.
Right, and I think letting the people...
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Yeah, President. Mr. President, may I inquire the senator from St. Francis?
Senator from the 2nd, the senior senator from St. Charles, like to inquire the senator from St. Francis. Do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, you've been in this body a while. $8 million is a lot of money.
To some people.
To some people. Do you know that $8 million would pretty much fund the entire Harris Stowe University? And you know, next year, education is going to be on the chopping block. Like you said, with early childhood, the foundation formula. Do you know that $8 million...
Do you think the Post Disgrace knows that? Because they did a nice article the same day they cut us down on Gibbons, the president of Harris Stowe, that's their funding.
Yeah.
But they want us to go ahead and do this. Do you know how many people voted in Reynolds County in the last Republican presidential primary?
Nope, tell me.
76. That in the whole county. Now, I'm sure they wouldn't have let them vote if they knew they snuck in. But a Bunker, I think three people voted in the Republican presidential primary, but Bunker has a school that will be affected by losing $8 million. But I don't think the three people, and see, some of them, I think, there are a lot of people mistaken.
Do you know those?
Maybe they asked for the wrong ballot.
Do any of the students at Bunker get the Bright Flight Scholarship if they do well enough on their standardized scores when they go off to school?
Some of them do, and they also use, they cannot afford to get enough money to do the junior college A+.
Because $8 million would fully fund the Bright Flight Scholarship in Missouri. Or we could have a presidential primary that doesn't mean a thing, doesn't elect any delegates, but by having it tells people that this is how you get involved in the process, but rather than not getting involved in the caucuses.
I think we're going to have a lot of discussions in the spring when it comes to budget time, how much some like low-income housing costs and what we're going to have to cut to be able to keep these people. We're going to have a discussion on people, their homestead, how much that $57 million is going to cost that we keep giving tax credits for people that aren't paying taxes. So we're going to have this discussion. I know $8 million seems like a small figure in the overall scheme, but for a beauty pageant, I bet you Donald Trump doesn't even spend $8 million on a beauty pageant.
He might on hair products, but...
He's got the good. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President?
Senator from the second.
May I speak on the amendment?
Proceed.
My fellow senators, I mean, I understand that we don't want to try to disenfranchise people from the ballot box, but I think we're actually doing a disservice by telling them to go vote in a statewide primary election that means nothing to the selection of the President of the United States. The Republican Party has outlined how their delegates are going to be picked. There doesn't seem to be a primary on the Democrat side. So if they want to get involved in a caucus system, they have that opportunity. It is not a backdoor, smoke-filled room. Anybody can show up and say they want to participate. And there is a way. So if we don't educate them on how to participate, we spend all this money and time and effort and energy getting 18-year-olds to go register. So should we tell them to go register and say, hey, go vote in this election to pick your president? Oh, but by the way, that's not really how you pick it, but we're afraid of being attacked in the press because we're going to be raked over because they think this is how we should have people think that they're getting involved, when actually that's not the correct way. We should educate people on the correct way, the way it's being done by this, if we move forward with this, on getting involved. So it's going to cost the taxpayers $8 million to have this election that doesn't mean anything towards the selection of the president other than just there's a public opinion poll. We can do a public opinion poll online. We can do automated phone. Every senator could do one on their own website and let people have their voice heard for what their preference is. And let alone you might only have 20% of the voters that actually show up. Now, that's regardless of the point. But $8 million, when we have to cut, there's $750 million hole in our budget next year. There's about a $450 million hole, plus you have Medicaid and things that just naturally are going to grow. You're looking somewhere around a $700 million hole in our budget. And we're going to spend $8 million on a beauty pageant or on a popular opinion poll. You know, $8 million, you know, that would fund the Bright Flight Scholarships in Missouri. Do you know that 1,292 people could go through a drug court program if we had an extra $8 million in this state, rather than go to prison? And we all pretty much know that drug courts do a great job. That's what $8 million buys you in Missouri. Heck, we spent all this time talking about airports around the state and everything we're trying to do for Lambert. You know that the Airport Capital Grant Program to fix up our airports costs us $8 million a year. So if you want to help fix up our airports. There's $8 million right there we wouldn't have if we just had a popular opinion poll. Local public health agencies, our county health departments, $7.6 million is what we spend on that. Should we eliminate that because we want to have a popular opinion poll? Our state health lab, there's $9 million. Let's just not do water quality testing for those that live in the lake, you know, or places that have E. coli. Now, let's just not even test that water because we'd rather have people go out and vote for a presidential candidate that means absolutely nothing rather than educate them on how to get involved. Hawthorne's Children's Psychiatric Hospital, helping kids with psychiatric problems, $8.2 million. That's what $8 million buys you in the state of Missouri. Or it could buy you a popular opinion poll. The Metro Psychiatric Hospital, that's $8.7 million. Should we cut that one next year? Oh, this one's kind of important to me. The autism waiver. 363 more kids could get on the autism waiver in Missouri with $8 million. Trust me, it'd be worth it for one kid just to change that child's life. The Nevada Rehab Center, $7.7 million. Inmate Substance Abuse Services, $10 million. Education Services for Inmates, $10 million. Hey, how about this one? An additional $8 million would house 1,298 more inmates to get more people, criminals, off the streets. Or we could have a popular opinion poll that doesn't mean anything in the state. So I made my point, hopefully. I think that we should defeat this amendment. We should allow and educate people on the caucus system, since that's how one of the major parties is going that has the primary. Save the taxpayers $8 million. Then we have 3 years to discuss it. We can go back to the primary next time. That's my opinion. I'm just one senator. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator from the 34th, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. The reason I'm inquiring is that I really am conflicted on this. And as I'm seeing this right now, whether your amendment passes or not, we're still going to seat the delegates either way. And we're not going to have the candidates coming and visiting us either way. But if we don't pass your amendment, and tell me if I'm right here, if we don't pass your amendment, we're for sure going to save $8 million, but nobody is going to get to vote.
Right? And no one will come here.
Right. Right. Yeah. Nobody will come here. We will seat our delegates. We will absolutely, if you don't pass your amendment, we will save the $8 million, but nobody gets to vote except for the caucuses. Now, if your amendment passes, there's two possibilities. MRP could do nothing, or they could act.
Right.
If MRP does nothing, then we are for sure going to waste $8 million on people voting for nothing. But MRP, if they act, then we'll spend the $8 million, but we'll get $8 million worth of vote out of the people, which in my mind is the very best possibility. So yep. For whether I vote on your amendment or not, it comes down to, what is the chances that MRP will act and rescind their action? And I think that the reason that they took the action was that they were responding to what we did here in this room, or
correct,
what we didn't do.
Correct.
So MRP has reacted to us, so I kind of think that MRP will react to us, because if we pass your amendment, MRP will have two choices: waste $8 million or save $8 million, or actually spend the $8 million for something that we want.
Right.
I think MRP, having that choice put on them, I think they'll choose the right thing.
Yeah, I think their stated preference before 2 weeks ago was to have a presidential primary in March.
Right.
And
that's what they said they wanted.
Right. So if we adopt this amendment, we're giving, in my view, from a logical point of view, as you've laid out, gives us the best chance for the ideal outcome.
But there is also the possibility of the worst outcome. But I rate that as a lower probability.
Right.
I don't
Well, I think the worst outcome, see, we might disagree a little bit. I think the worst outcome is to have, I want our delegates seated. I do not want this state to move to a caucus system.
Okay, well, I think it's probably, myself, I think it's worse to spend $8 million and have people go vote for nothing. To me, that's worse. But,
right.
But that's a matter of personal opinion.
But I think what we agree is the amendment probably gives us the best chance at an ideal outcome.
That's kind of what I think, but I just have one little loose end that's still on my mind, and that's that what if there is a Democrat primary?
What if
there's a Democrat primary? What happens?
Well, the Democrat, I don't want to speak for the Democratic Party, but they have a decision to make, I think, like the Republican Party.
Well, do they have the, well, we heard that the Republican Party had an October 1 deadline that they had to meet in order to go to the caucus system.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
The senator from the 13th might know. He seems to be the most plugged in with the party
apparatus. If we go and we stick with the primary, I mean, are they locked out now because they didn't go to the caucus system? I just don't know.
I don't know.
But anyway,
thank you. You know who might know? She sits next to you. She's like a superdelegate.
But you rate the probability that MRP will act as high.
I would hope so. I don't know that for certain. The problem we have is, as we stand here right now, we don't know. However, that is an opportunity. It still is able to be pursued. And given the fact, as you stated, this is probably the outcome that they desire, or they desired before we didn't act, I think
that they probably will.
Right.
Okay, well, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from Howell, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire the senator from the second.
The senior senator from St. Charles, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you. Thank you for your rousing. Almost swayed me there.
Almost?
Yeah, I just had a couple little quick questions.
Almost, tiny bit. Pull you over a little bit
just
farther.
Just want clarification. I'm sitting here trying to make up my mind. Now, we passed a primary so that, you know, people all across the state can vote in a primary. You go pull a Democrat or Republican ballot and vote. And you're saying that this primary will be nothing more than a pageant where it'll be meaningless?
As far as seating the delegates.
Who is declaring that it is meaningless?
Well,
because the people that pick up that ballot and go down and vote, you know, that is something they want to do. They want to go cast a vote for a presidential candidate.
And they will
but,
do that.
But you're
in,
saying
in
that what they're doing is going to be meaningless. And I'm trying
now,
to
they,
figure
if
out.
If they go to the caucus system and they get involved and they show up, they can cast that vote on their delegate. So they have that opportunity. It's not, we're not taking away that ability to cast a vote.
Well,
we're just helping making sure that vote actually counts the way they want it to count towards actually picking the person they're voting
for. So if I walk into that voting booth in February or March and I say, I'm going to vote for this person, and they make an X and vote for that person, that it is meaningless. Because that's what you said, that we're doing nothing more than a public opinion poll.
When it,
what
com- when it comes to provide for picking the delegate,
all right, now,
to
okay.
Then go into the electoral college and actually, in other words, go to the national convention and
okay.
Cast the vote for that, yes.
So it's not meaningless to that person. It's meaningless to who?
It's meaningless to the selection of the delegate, which is why they go and vote trying to say, this is who I want to be president, and my vote will count in helping decide who that nominee is going to be. But when they show up, unless we're going to tell them, yeah, go vote, but by the way, your vote is not going to help decide who that nominee is.
Who determines that?
Who determines
that their vote is meaningless?
Well, if you want to say in that system, the party that said they're going to pick their delegates via the caucus system, it was the one that pretty much said that the statewide primary is not how they're going to pick their delegates.
So the party says that vote is going to be meaningless, and they're not going to abide by that person that cast the vote. So that's why we shouldn't have this election, because because it's not the person that goes down and casts the vote that says that election is meaningless. It's someone else says, go ahead and vote, but you're wasting your time. We're going to pick who you want.
No. Now, I think what we're saying is the election to pick the delegate, to pick that person, to get them nominated is meaningless if that actual vote doesn't correlate into the selection of that delegate.
You know, I want to come at this from an average person, you know, because 80%, probably 70% of the people across this state are not Democrat or Republican. They lean one way or the other, but they vote more and more for the person. So you're saying that that person takes time out to go vote in a primary, then certain people are going to say, well, you can do what you want. We're not going to count. We're not going to abide by the results of it because we want to do it our way and elect who nominate who we want regardless of the people that cast
them. I mean, that's the way the parties nominate their candidate. Well, and that's the way it's the parties have always done
well,
it.
That's confusing to me is because we our last presidential primary, one of the county chairs that called me, who the party had told him to call me to tell me to eliminate the primary, but after I talked to them, they were in favor of the primary and wondered why they had called me in the first place because they wanted to keep the primary and not go to a caucus. So it began as a confusing phone call. They began it confiding that, you know, in the last primary, I voted for Huckabee. This is what this person said. I voted for Huckabee, but McCain won. Well, I was a delegate, so I went and I cast a vote for McCain because that was the winner of the primary. Even though I didn't like him, he's the one that won the primary. So that they felt that that was their job to go and say, you know, McCain won the Missouri primary, even though I'm a Huckabee supporter, that delegate cast his vote for McCain. Which I think what about 80% of the people actually think that's how the system works. But you're telling me now
we're going to have the election because that's how people think it works, or should we educate them on the system?
Well, I think if you educate them on the system, yeah, they're going to be disenfranchised, you know, with the system because,
I called 85,
because the vote at the ballot doesn't matter.
I called 85 out of 114 county clerks,
the vote
and every single one of them said,
people,
definitely get rid of the primary. I called 85 out of 114, and they all said get rid of the primary. Because they said it's...
You explained to them why?
Explain to them why.
Your facts or figures are coming through different than mine. Mine actually felt that you give people a right to vote, and then whoever wins that primary, the party should follow through with a popular vote of Republicans across the state.
And they do
have
that
making
right to
it
go
a meaningless
and
process
in the caucus system for their delegate. So they do have that right. But I think you're arguing, I think, more of that the primary, if we had one, should be binding and everybody should do that. So I think we're kind of having different arguments here, but we're in a position.
I think the argument is.
We're in a position that you and I probably didn't put us into this, but, you know, we're trying to make lemonade out of lemons, and we don't want to spend $8 million on it at the same time.
I think what we're trying to determine here is who is making this vote meaningless. And it's not the people that go vote. It is a party that says that we are not going to honor a popular vote by the people because it might not go our way. I think that's how this is perceived. Because you can go spend your money and you can turn out the vote and you spend $8 million on a primary and the candidates can come in and campaign and we can go out and vote. But whoever wins, don't worry about it, because we're going to elect who we want over here. People that aren't elected, that are basically insiders,
so your solution,
and they
is
don't want to abide by
the... solution
the,
is to spend $8 million and to have this election just and say...
I think in...
And point fingers at the party system that we have.
If I'm looking as an average person, if we're going to spend $8 million for a primary... An ex-candidate wins, that's who the state of Missouri delegates support at the national convention.
If you're an average person and parents as teachers gets whacked like it has in the last couple of years, and then you're like, well, why did I spend that money? You mean it didn't matter? Then I think they're going to be even more upset.
You know, I think it's ironic that you're preaching to me that we ought to cut the budget because I've been leading this fight for a long time.
I know.
If we'd have cut tax credits 6 years ago, We wouldn't be in the position we are now. We've got a bill on the table that's saving $1.5 billion over the next 15 years, and we can't get it passed. So don't argue with me. At this point, I figured you'd be like,
let's not waste that money, because you were such a stalwart on cutting out waste and spending that is frivolous.
But the point.
So I figured you'd be right here with my point.
It is not us that is making that $8 million irrelevant. It's the party not wanting to abide by the results of the election that we pay for.
We can point to that. We could also say it wasn't us that caused the flooding down in Missouri, but let's not do anything yet because it wasn't us. We're pragmatic people. We're senators. We're supposed to be playing the hand that we're dealt.
We're trying to play it right now, not sit there and blame the dealer. This is my inquiry. Please answer my questions. Who is making this irrelevant? Is it us for spending $8 million on a primary, or making it irrelevant, or wasting money, or is it a party not recognizing the results of a statewide election that is making the $8 million irrelevant?
I would think that the party is choosing to have their delegates to nominate their president for the United States done this way.
Through a caucus system. Okay, this is a loaded question. How many of, in your political career, how many caucuses have you gone to?
Zero.
Okay. You know, that I think if you went through this whole body, very few of us have actually took the time out to attend a caucus meeting.
Very good.
I did in 1996. And you know who won that?
Pat Buchanan won it.
And people thought, you know, it's really not the best system if someone involved in politics never goes to a caucus. You know, because you've been to zero, I've been to one. And you go through it. So that's why we kind of went to a primary type system. I thought, now I may be wrong, but I thought that's why we went to a primary type system to kind of eliminate the caucus system where you could get more people involved in the process. So what we do is we pass a presidential primary 4 years ago. McCain wins. I voted for Huckabee. McCain wins. Our delegates, then the state of Missouri goes to wherever the national convention was, and our delegates supported McCain, even though a lot of them supported Romney, Huckabee, and all those. So the system was basically the people in the state of Missouri were listened to by the delegates that went to the national convention. So now we're in a situation now where we in this body pass a presidential primary so that a bunch of people can go vote instead of a caucus where I've won to one and you've gone to zero and probably a lot of other people have it. And we're going to spend $8 million on a primary, but the very people that are involved in the process says, well, you can do what you want, spend the $8 million. It's going to be a beauty pageant because we're not going to abide by the results, even though the system worked pretty good 4 years ago. So is that what you're telling me?
Sounds to me like you are upset with the national party that is picking their delegates.
I could care less. I'm just trying to figure out that right here.
That's the thing, is we cannot fix that. We got to play the hand that we're dealt.
No. But see, you're going to have to explain that, because why we can't fix it. Because right now we have a presidential primary that fixes it. What we can't fix is the party not recognizing a statewide election.
So we can't tell the party how they're going to pick the delegates for their nominee for president. That is up to the Democrat Party to pick and then the Republican Party to pick.
We can't fix that problem
where it seems like most of your argument and the crux was.
All right, let's attack those Democrats. Let's attack Democrats, because that's what we do as Republicans, attack Democrats. Four years ago, let me follow through with this. There was Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. John Edwards, who won the primary? Hillary? Okay. Hillary wins. Did the Democrat Party, when they went to the National Convention, did they decide, you know, we're going to heck with that. We don't like Hillary. We think Barack is the best guy. So even though the people across the state voted for Hillary, we're going to scrap that, and all you delegates vote for Barack. Would that have been all right? That's party doing it.
I'm sorry, what?
Do you think that would have disenfranchised Democrats across the state of Missouri?
No.
Oh, you don't think it would have?
Because I think a
small... See, I disagree with you.
I think a small percentage would sit there and say, okay, well, if our delegates did go, I don't think a lot of people don't realize who their delegates are actually voting for. You know, but they're just like, this is who the nominee is, and then I'll go and I'll exercise my vote on this person versus the other party.
Okay,
person.
I'll come back to you. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, can I inquire, what's your number? Ryan. Senator from the 22nd.
Senator from the 22nd. He yields. Proceed.
Congratulations on the Cardinals.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really, I did my best.
Yeah, you did a fine job.
Do you know the senator from the 15th was the former coach of the MVP of the NLCS?
David Freeze. Yes, he right. Was it Little League or
AAU?
He taught him everything he knows. He taught him how to hit the curveball, even though the senator from the 15th couldn't hit the curveball.
That's right.
But
he was like Serrano from Major League.
Yeah. You heard our inquiry.
Some of it.
In the Democrat primary 4 years ago, Hillary won the state of Missouri.
That's right.
Did the delegates kind of
a funny story. I backed John Edwards, and he came here to Jeff City, and along with the senator from the 2013th, he got up on stage and was one of the people that introduced him, and then the next day, a scandal broke. But yeah, I think what you're getting at is the delegates, whether their state went with a particular candidate or not, in our state primary, they went with the nominee nationwide. So Missouri's delegates went with Barack Obama in Denver. Is that your question?
No.
Oh.
Didn't Hillary win the Democrat primary?
She did.
Okay, the Missouri delegates, I assume, went to the National Democratic Convention.
In Denver.
Did they cast a vote for Hillary or Barack?
I believe Barack. They did.
Oh, so she committed her delegates.
Yes.
She released her delegates.
I'm obviously not the person to ask, but I'll tell you this. I've been to two caucuses. As a Democrat, for Bill Bradley and for Dick Gephardt. And it's about, as you described, not a lot of people show up. Most of the candidates don't even show up to speak. It seemed like we were going out, Harold Selby and I drove up, former state representative, and would go door to door, and everybody was just kind of disinterested. They seem like they would rather just go to a ballot box and cast their vote than go sit for 4 hours and wait for a candidate to show up or not show up and then hear them speak and then go to different corners of the room. I have a hard time speaking for people in Iowa, but it seemed to me that they were kind of over the caucus system. That's the sense that I got.
Thank you very much for your interview. Thank you, Senator from, what was it? Mr. President, can I
Senator from Hell.
Senator from Second.
The senior senator from St. Charles. Do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Okay, I'm not going to keep doing this. I just, for my simple mind, I just need some simple facts, and then I'll sit down. No one in this body is disenfranchising the primary vote because we voted to have a primary.
I would say you are correct that if you want to follow your logic where you're trying to lead me, where you're hoping that I will say is that it is the party structure that if you want to extrapolate instead is disenfranchising, that's where you want me to go.
That's because that's where the truth lies. It's not us disenfranchising.
True. But
it
we
is,
are
it
we're
is,
grappling with a situation
it is unelected
that we did
people.
Not put ourselves in, and we're debating where do we head from now.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. But
Very.
I just want to make that point. It's not us disenfranchised.
We didn't put ourselves in this situation. We're trying to deal with the situation of which we're in.
People that are upset because we moved a primary up to February, which upset the national people because they've got this all planned out. It's upset New Hampshire, which has one of the earliest primaries, so they kind of have a system, and old habits die hard. New Hampshire starts everything off. So they didn't want Missouri to come up and be prominent and get a lot of press and advertising and everything like that. They wanted us to stay where we were so that the system could work like it always has. They didn't want anybody upsetting the apple cart. So when we moved our primary up to February so that we could be a player in the presidential race by having these candidates come in and talk instead of being a flyover state, that was our intention, for us to stop becoming a flyover state and be prominent
Actually, I would pause right there, and I would say it was probably the governor that put us in this situation by vetoing the bill.
Well,
I'm giving you the governor thing.
In a real world, I think what the average person out there that's not political, that leans one way or the other, and that person is, let me tell you what that person looks like right now. It's a person that is disenfranchised with both sides of the aisle because their voices aren't heard a lot of times. And they feel that they don't have a voice in the process, that all these things are already determined beforehand by the 20% that belong to organized or disorganized parties. So you got 80% of the people out there that says, you know, it's going to be my chance to go vote in a primary because I don't know a lot of those people in the caucuses, you know, because most people in the caucuses have been in the party forever. So this is my opportunity to go cast a vote mm-hmm. in a primary. And because I'm doing that, and people in Missouri don't like that, they're not going to count my vote. And that's not our fault.
Right. It's not your fault. And I think my perspective is that those people would then feel even more disenfranchised to find out a month or two later that their vote meant nothing in picking the delegate. Whereas you're making the argument more of, they're going to feel disenfranchised the fact that they can't go to the ballot box. They have to go to a caucus system.
Well, we're not doing that, though. They're doing that. The party is making that.
They're doing that. You and I aren't doing that, but I think that's where the crux of our argument. I think they'll be even more disenfranchised after the fact to find out that it doesn't mean anything in the selection delegate. You think they'll be more disenfranchised to the fact that, hey, we're not even given the opportunity.
I think you're disenfranchising people and the voters in the state when you tell them that their vote doesn't mean anything. And you're disenfranchising them.
Well, I think being upfront with the voters and saying, this is how we got here, is how we're dealing with it.
I think if you want to restore people's faith in the process, that you have a primary, who wins the primary is that's who our delegates vote for at the national convention. And I think that is the way
But we can't solve that problem right now.
No. But, you know, I'm thinking about offering an amendment to the amendment, moving our primary up to December the 6th to cash in on before Christmas sales on the advertising. And you could have the candidates come in and do Christmas greetings to the people all across the state, and that would raise millions of revenue for our press people.
Might be kind of hard to get that done since you have to mail absentees out 45 days for military and all that.
Yeah. Those technicalities. No. But I want to thank you for your inquiry, but you were blaming us, and I know you were doing it in error, but it's not us.
No, I'm blaming anybody.
It's not us that is disenfranchising.
I was pointing out that we have to play the hand that we're dealt. And that if by moving forward, it might feel good in the short term, but I think it will end up being worse off in the long term.
Okay. Thank you for your inquiry.
Senator from the 23rd, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Speak against the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's interesting, as I was listening to the debate, I found there to be some similarities between the electoral process that we have to elect our president and the popular vote. And I know there's some discussion nationally about that issue, and there's some controversy, but that's not specifically why I'm against the amendment. Mr. President, I want our state to have a voice in selecting who our candidate for president is. I heard some members talking about how what the state party did was a response to something that did, or in this case, didn't happen in the Senate. And the senator from Howell talked about it briefly. Actually, what happened is the state's party's response to the federal party and the decision that they made. We made a decision statutorily several years ago to move to a February primary. And I think if you look at the history of the state and its role in presidential elections, I think there are reasons for the state of Missouri to have a February primary. Now, not this last cycle, but in many presidential elections before, Missouri has been a swing state. And because of the makeup of this state and our metropolitan areas and our rural areas, we're very representative of the interest and the mood of the rest of the country. And for that reason, many years ago, I saw value in having a February election. If Iowa can have a caucus, if New Hampshire can have a primary election, if Nevada and South Carolina can have primaries early in the process, then why can't Missouri, with the makeup of the state and how it is viewed nationally, be a state that has an earlier primary election? Now, the national party felt differently. And for that reason, the state party came to the state legislature and said, the state needs to change its primary. If we don't change from February to March, we're going to lose a great part of our voice in the selection of our candidate for president. And, you know, that's difficult to hear. Now, I was not aware that absent us moving, that they had this power reserved to them, that they could move to the caucus and have candidates selected outside of our voice, of what we wanted to say here in this chamber and in the legislature. Now, in conversations that I've had with members of the party over this primary election, when it was to occur, they were firm and ardent in saying that we needed to have this decision made by October 1st. You know, they didn't say, do your best to pass it by October 1st. And if you can't pass it by October 1st, then if you act on it later, we think there's a reasonable chance that we can reverse this process. That's not what they said. They said, you need to act by October 1st, or we are going to move toward a caucus. And because we did not change the primary date to meet the federal party's request, the state party decided for the people of the state of Missouri how the delegates were going to be selected in Missouri. And to this moment, no one at the state party has told me that they have the ability to reverse course and now go back to primary delegates, a primary election selecting our delegates. And for that reason, I do not want to waste $8 million of taxpayer money at a very difficult time in the state's history on a beauty contest. I would have much preferred for the state party to buck up and to allow the February primary election date to occur, as another state has already done in voicing their disagreement with the federal party. But because that did not happen, and they chose to go down this path of going with the caucus, then I feel it is my obligation as a protector of state dollars that we not waste $8 million on a process that is not going to give us a voice selecting our candidate for president. And that's why I'm against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from Holt, for what purpose do you rise?
To speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I've listened to this debate, it's been absolutely fascinating. It's fascinating that we actually believe that the 34 people who were elected by our respective constituents to come up here and do what's right for them, that we're seriously contemplating taking away their voice. We are actually sitting here thinking about removing their ability to say, listen, here's who we want, we as the people of a state, we want to be the nominee for president. Instead, we're gonna once again give that power to some person that walks the hall, or in this case, two parties that make these decisions. We have all this debate about $8 million and all the wonderful things that $8 million can buy. And you know what? $8 million is a lot of money. But let's put it in perspective. We have a $23 billion budget. So if $23 billion is 100%, $2.3 billion would be 10%. So $23 million would be 1%. So we are actually fighting about 0.03%. Now, if my math is right, for a family that makes $60,000 a year, that's equivalent to $20. So think about what we're about to do. If you defeat the amendment of the senator from the 15th, what we're essentially saying is, people, we know better than you. You don't really need to speak. We have this closed-door process called a caucus where 20,000 people may or may not take part in this process and pick the nominee, where for the last several presidential cycles, millions of people, at least a million people, in most cases more than a million people, have partaken in this process. I do not believe this is the right direction. You know, I actually share one of the feelings the senator from the 23rd talked about. I actually believe that this primary should be in February. I actually want my constituents, the people that I represent, the people where we have literally hundreds of individuals that no longer have homes, businesses, their ways of life have been disrupted because of the Corps of Engineers and the way they've managed the Missouri River. The people in southeast Missouri, that entire acres, hundreds of thousands of acres, were underwater. You know what? There will not be a presidential candidate that will come to the northwest part of this state or the southeast part of this state to see that devastation. That means the Corps of Engineers, who essentially answers to Congress, and more importantly, the director, who answers directly to the president, once again, they aren't going to know what really happens. I believe that if we're really doing what's best for our constituents, we should be figuring out how to make Missouri a relevant part of this process. And so with that, I'm actually going to offer an amendment to the, I'm going to try to make the senator from the 15th amendment a little bit better. I'm going to go back, I'm going to take us back to February. I'm going to let the body vote. And if the body says, nope, we're staying with March, then so be it. And then we'll decide whether or not we're going to take away the voice of the people. But when we stand here and talk about this at $8 million and we act like this is going to bring the state to a halt, this is going to bankrupt the state, it's not. I mean, think about this. We're talking about $8 million. The CEO up at Mamtech, the guy who ran away with almost $7 million of that $30 million boondoggle up there, I mean, this guy could almost write, if he just write the check back, it would almost pay for all of this. I mean, this is insane that we're even having this debate. That we're going to shut down the will of the people. And I am not going to be part of that. So, Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
It's very short. I ask that it be read.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Amendment Number 2, offered by Senator Lager. Amend Senate Amendment 2 to Senate Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 3, page 1, line 5, by striking the word, quote, March, close quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, February, close quote.
Senator, would you care to explain that amendment?
I move for the adoption of the amendment, and all I'm stating the exact same position that I stated during regular session, which is I do not believe that we should push back to March. I believe we should stay our current course, just like other states have done, and stay with February. And the will of the body will prevail here. But once again, you know, some small group of individuals somewhere, I don't even know where, has sat down and said, we're going to pick five states. And those five states get to be relevant in this process. And then everyone else just kind of has to take whoever's left after those five states are done. Well, you know what? As numerous individuals in here have talked about, because of the way that we have two large cities, and then we have a vast area of rural farmland in this state, the reality is we are a microcosm of this country. If there is any state that I would humbly submit should be part of this process early, it should be a state like ours. And so I'm going to give us the chance to maybe be part of that process this year. So, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
Senator from Atchison moves the Senate Amendment number 1 to Senate Amendment number 2. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 10th, what purpose do you rise?
The 12th.
Senator from Atchison, yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
I just want to make sure that I understand what we're doing. The status quo right now, if we were just to adjourn and all go home back to our families,
would be this. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Further discussion? Senator from the 2nd, the senior senator from St. Charles. What purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I raise point of order.
State your point.
I believe that the amendment is trying to take us back to the underlying bill, and that's probably not the correct way to do this, and there's probably some legal term I'm not understanding. But I don't think this is the correct procedure, so I would think that the amendment should be ruled out of order because it's trying to go back to the underlying bill and eliminate the last two.
Actually, a point of order.
Back to current law and everything else my counsel just told me.
The senator from the 2nd has raised a point of order. It will be referred to the senator from Stoddard. Would anyone like to comment on the point of order and be recognized? Senator from Atchison, for what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to speak on this point of order.
Speak on the point of order.
I am happy that we have co-counsel who's been able to help guide on what the point of order actually is. The reality is here, though, is that the underlying bill actually eliminated the primary for 2012. The substitute that's pending right now, to which the senator from the 15th has an amendment on, the underlying substitute actually eliminates the primary in 2012. His amendment would put it back, but put it back in March. I'm simply trying to enhance and better his amendment by moving it to February. And so with that, which again, the underlying substitute is eliminating it completely, therefore there is no point of order, and it's wishful thinking by my colleague from the 2nd. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the point of order. Senator from the 15th.
To speak in favor of the point of order.
Proceed.
The senator from the 12th already has a remedy on as this legislation is moving forward and is moot in that if everything goes down, his amendment, my amendment, the substitute, we're back at what he wants to do. Therefore, it is dilatory and frivolous.
Further discussion on the point of order. The senior senator from St. Charles County.
What he said.
Senator, Mr. President.
Senator from Stoddard.
To rule on the point of order.
Proceed.
It's my interpretation and understanding of the amendment from the senator from Andrew that if it did pass, that we would go back to existing law that's in place today. So I find that that amendment is dilatory and the point of order is well taken.
Madam Secretary, please send the amendment back. Further discussion on Senate Amendment number 2.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 12th, what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
As it's on its way up, I've made one minor modification. Instead of February, it will now be January.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment Number 2 to Senate Amendment Number 2 offered by Senator Lager. Amend Senate Amendment Number 2 to Senate Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 3, page 1, line 5, by striking the word, quote, March, close quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, January, close quote.
Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator, would you care to move the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2?
The adoption of the amendment, again, to explain it, I'm bettering the amendment of the senator from the 15th. And although that was a cute move by the senator from the second, we can all play these procedural games. And so I would put forth that we should have it in January. I thought about saying that we should be first, but the senator from the second, who is found has a newfound love for the elections process, he has reminded me that in order to give the appropriate notification for absentee voting, etc., that it would be tough to make that happen in December. Therefore, I chose January. Again, I'll let the will of the body prevail. With that, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
Discussion. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
Senator from Andrew.
Senator from Holt, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
I'm glad to see more and more people getting up on this presidential primary issue, because you're absolutely right. In all seriousness, last week, the state of Florida moved their presidential primary up to January 31st.
Right.
New Hampshire is currently looking at December 16th or 17th. Nevada is now January 14th. Now, let me put a few things in perspective, because everybody says we got to save the state money and we have to not give the people a voice because it won't matter. We spend all this money, and all this money comes into other states to market presidential primaries. The population of Iowa, which is the first caucus, is 3 million people. The population of New Hampshire is 1.3 million. The population of Missouri is 5.9 million people. Why shouldn't Missouri speak with a presidential primary? I'm getting up now because we're talking about all these different issues. I'd be content keeping it in February, giving the people a voice. Now, Senator, have you ever been to a caucus?
I've not.
I have been.
I'm too young.
I have been to six. I have been.
You've been
to
how many?
Six.
That's pretty
I've been to six caucuses.
When,
have you ever been to a Republican National Convention?
What year was the first one?
First one was 1984.
Okay.
Mondale and Jesse Jackson. 1988, you had Tsongas.
Did you say you've been to a Republican convention?
No, I asked you if you've ever been to
I've not, no.
Okay, I've been to, I'm not trying to sit up here like the old geezer, but I've been to a Democratic National Convention. So I participated in six caucuses. I've also participated in the caucus of becoming a delegate. The most frustrating thing for a caucus, most people will not show up because people take their voting very privately.
Right.
And that's one reason people in primaries tend to, you only get 20 or 30% turnout, because they got to declare Democrat or Republican. Now, in a presidential, sure, they have to declare, but they can go in that voting booth and do something private that's their opinion. You take away that and go to a caucus. What you do in a caucus is they sit there and say, who's for candidate A? Go over here. Who's for candidate B? Go over here. And who's for candidate C? Go over here. And then a representative, before they break into groups, speaks for each candidate. And then if you don't have a viable caucus, those citizens are forced to go into the other ones, where a lot of them just leave. So you want to talk about taking away people's incentive to participate? People go for the caucus. Listen to the Democratic National Committee and listen to the Republican National Committee. You want to take people out of the process? Support caucus all the way. That's all you're doing. I'm going to support your amendment. I do not support the senator from the 15th because March takes us out of the playing field. But I would be content to just keep it at February and tell the Republican National Committee and the Democratic National Committee, we're Missouri, we're the show me state, and we're going to show you when our primary is. You're not going to dictate to us when it is going to be. And if they want to call it the beauty pageant and they don't have to listen to them, well, then show the people they're not willing to listen. But do not take away the people's right to vote. You talk about money, and this is an inquiry, and I hope you don't mind, but I've done a lot of research on this. Money spent. We just passed an economic development bill that we sent back over to incentivize having basketball tournaments and wrestling matches here. Now, these politicians running for president right now, all they're doing to Missouri is coming to raise money. President Obama was here. I think presidential candidate Perry wasn't
he? Last week.
Here in Missouri to raise money.
Over in your neck of the woods somewhere.
Well, I don't know. You've been in my neck of the woods more than me lately because I heard you've been dealing with all the issues
that's been coming
forth on the other issues. So I know you're familiar. But let me throw a few statistics at you. In Iowa, Obama in 2008's campaign spent $2.7 million just in Iowa for the presidential primary. Edwards spent about $1 million. Clinton spent 2.5. Romney spent 2.8. And Huckabee only spent 236,000. So it tells you not always money. But I'm trying to throw at you also the amount of money that comes into the state to sell the candidate. Now, 4 years ago, when there was both Democrats and Republicans, did you get visited by presidential candidates?
I did not. Did you?
Yes. Yes, I did. And I think I even talked to the senator from St. Francis. I believe there was a function at the senator from the 23rd's family's banquet facility
where
Republican presidential candidates came in. I'll tell you what, it's pretty impressive when they not only come in to meet elected officials, they come in to meet the people.
Yeah. That's my argument, Senator.
They want to. And I agree with your January 15th, but I would prefer we just table all this issue and keep it at February.
I tried to. The senator from second was fighting against the will
of
the people.
But the most, in all seriousness, though, the most sacred thing we can have in our republic form of government is the right to vote.
No, and that's my fundamental. I understand that it cost $8 million. I respect that. But you know what? If there's any one thing that's worth paying for,
it's
to
ensure right
the people have the option, have the ability to have their voice be heard.
Well, I'm going to close on this because I had talked to the senator from the 23rd. I said, I'm not going to filibuster, but I did keep research on this, and I wanted to bring to everybody's knowledge some of the statistics. But what frustrates me more and more is Iowa and New Hampshire always want to be at the front of the train of presidential primaries. One has 3 million people, the other has 1.3 million. We have almost 6 million people. You even said we're the bellwether state. We are a small look of what the nation is as a whole. Urban areas, rural areas. Why shouldn't we be paid attention to? And by keeping it at February, we allow the people to participate in the process. We're not going to continue to leapfrog and jump. I just gave you all the other states that are saying, hey, National Committee, we're not listening to you. You want to take our delegates? Fine. Try. Go right ahead. We should be the same. We're going to keep our February primary and continue to allow the people to speak. But I will support yours. But I would prefer we just lay this whole issue over and keep the February primary.
Senator, and I think you raise a valid point.
Oh, my God.
You got another
He thinks I raised a valid point.
I think you raised,
All right,
yeah.
We're doing
I mean,
good.
This is a very significant day for a lot of reasons.
But I'm sorry.
But at the end of the, I mean, at the end of this debate, you know, I believe that you have groups that are forming on each end. You have the Tea Party on one end. You have this Occupy Wall Street or whatever this group is on the other end. And you have all this growing discontent of government. There's a reason there's growing discontent of government. Because elected officials are not listening to their constituents. Elected officials are not listening to the people who sent them to do their job. And I would again submit that this underscores that frustration. that we're going to eliminate your ability to let your voice be heard, because we believe a small group of people that show up on one day at a certain building and stand in a certain corner, they know better. That's insane.
The other argument I do not like at all is when we say, well, the county clerks, they don't want this. I'm not worried about what the county clerks want. I'm worried about giving the people a chance. And the other argument is, well, there's only so many people that showed up and vote. Fine. That's all that showed up. But at least give them that right to show up. In 1984, Jesse Jackson ran against Mondale. Mondale was supposed to be a for sure thing. People organized and went to the caucuses. And he played strong in several states. They started to have to pay attention to him. We don't get paid attention to unless you have to work overly hard at these caucuses. Just entice people to participate. And I bet you this year, even though the Democrats don't look like they're going to have a primary, you're going to have more people going to the polls with a Republican presidential primary, voicing who fits their interests the best.
You know what I found? You were talking about the caucuses earlier. What I found so interesting in 2008 is I had a couple friends from college who went to Iowa and worked on a couple of the presidential campaigns. And what was interesting was to listen to them as they came, when they came back. Because, you know, down here in our state, whenever you're talking, when I'm talking to my friends, my neighbors, my family, whoever it is, about these different candidates, you know, you talk about who you like, who you don't like, what you think of these people. And your primary source of information is the news, media, that type of thing. In Iowa, they said the biggest difference was whenever they would ask someone, have you chose a presidential candidate yet? Have you, you know, do you like Romney? Do you like Huckabee? Do you like McCain? They'd say, you know, I like Romney for this reason, or I like McCain for this reason, or, you know, I'm not sure about Huckabee. I haven't met him yet. And the mindset there was they meet the candidates. The
population of 3 million people.
The candidates come to them and ask for their vote.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's the way this process is supposed to work. And I think that, again, because Missouri is a microcosm of the country, there's no reason that shouldn't be working here.
Right. And going back to the issue that was discussed, all these other states are already moving their primaries up into January and into December. So the idea we're not going to be counted, well, then they have to hold that true for all these other states that moved up.
Yeah,
they're not going to be counted.
The interesting part about that debate is if you look at this, I would be hard-pressed to believe that any candidate, either side of the aisle, will go and tell a state, we're only going to let half of your votes count.
Oh, yeah. Believe me.
And if they do, then shame on us for electing them.
And I'll tell you what will happen. Your congressional delegation will be screaming at them. They will answer to your congressional delegation. They'll answer to your U.S. senator, whether it's the Democrat or Republican, just like they did in Florida. They have tried to rein in states competing for the first primary, and they can't. National political parties should not dictate to state governments when they can hold their presidential primaries.
I agree completely.
So I'll support yours, but I would prefer we just lay it over. But
well,
I wanted
here's
to give.
The question I have for you, Senator.
I just wanted to give some of those statistics because, once again, and if you all take it seriously for a moment, we're close to 6 million people. New Hampshire, who's the first state with, is 1.3.
Well,
then after New Hampshire, it goes to South Carolina and Nevada. Now Florida says we're going at the end of January. Nevada's saying we're going in December. They're all going all over the place. So keep it where it is, and let the participation occur. Let
Senator,
the politicians want more than our money. Let them want our vote.
I know this is your inquiry, but if before you close, I would ask you to think about this. I mean, I've offered my amendment. If it goes down, great. If it gets put on, even better. But no matter what, whether it's January or whether it's March, allowing the people to be part of this process is vitally important, I believe.
I'm not for March because you're out of the mix by then.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you completely.
Everyone's dropped out of the race, and the senator from Jefferson made a joke, but he was right. We all met. I spoke at a rally, but we were all there. We were for Edwards. That was on a Saturday, and he dropped out Monday morning, and the primary was Tuesday. But even though he dropped out, the primary was Tuesday, up until the day of the primary, all the people had the presidential candidates coming in and asking them for their vote. And that's what matters the most. And I think I've said enough. I have committed. I'm not going to filibuster. I'm going to bring up these points. And I think I have. And I'll support your amendment, but I would prefer we just stay at February.
Thanks, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Inquire the Senator from the 12th.
Senator from Davies, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I like your amendment, and I agree with everything that Senator
from the
13th said. And what you're going to get is you're going to get a lot of people saying, well, wait a minute, it's still worthless because we're going to have this primary, and a few people over at the party are going to nullify whatever the voters of this state say and say, no, we're going to put together a process. But I do have an amendment, and we'll see how yours goes, because I can't stick it on at this point because I think we're too far down. But we'll see how yours goes. But I do have an amendment that basically would say that no presidential candidate shall appear on a ballot for the office of President of the United States in a presidential election unless such candidate has appeared on a presidential preference primary for the presidential election. And there's some law, there's some case law out there that says basically that state legislatures cannot dictate necessarily the process, but there's one thing they're very clear on, and that is that the state general assembly controls the ballot. And we can certainly control the ballot process. So when the people of this state go to the polling place and they say who they want for the president of the United States, we can back that up with the ability that we have to see who's on the ballot.
You know, Senator, you actually raise a good point. And I'm not trying to stand here and micromanage what's happening at the party. I understand that the state parties are reacting to what's happening at the national party. Although I disagree with their current course, I completely respect it. The reality is what I'm standing here advocating is what I believe is what my constituents want.
Right.
What I believe is best for my constituents, which is they are part of this process. And actually, your amendment probably does more to ensure that than anything else that we've talked about here today anyway.
Well, that's why if the whole thing goes away and gets pulled back, we don't pass anything. We go back to leaving February. We're still going to have a caucus system. I think something that you touched on, though, which was the Occupy Wall Street movement, Tea Party movement, you know, regardless of what it is you think the direction that we need to be going in this country, they all share the common theme of disenfranchisement and dissatisfaction, in large part with the process. And I think anybody who doesn't get that message doesn't see what's going on.
You know, and the EcoDevo bill, which we sent back earlier, actually underscores this. Government no longer is doing what's in the best interest of the people. They're doing what's in the best interest of special interest. And that is why people are so tired of this. And it's time to put the people's interest above special interest. And hopefully this body will come to that conclusion at some point here today.
I agree. And while the senior senator from St. Charles County is a very learned senator, I do wonder where
he's
that
wrong on this issue.
I wonder where that $8 million figure comes from, because as the senator from the 13th pointed out, I mean, just the amount of money that was spent in Iowa is a tremendous, tremendous amount of money. And I don't know that anyone has really looked at, number one, what we really reimburse to those counties, and then also add on top of that what will come in to the state. Because the other thing is, I got 121,000 registered voters in 2008 in my county. I don't know how on earth that's going to work in a caucus.
You know, I'm pretty sure that if I went to my constituents and said, listen, we've determined we have a budget cutting opportunity for 0.034% of the budget, and all we have to do is take away your ability to have a voice in this process, I'm fairly confident they're not going to be in favor of that.
I would agree that they would not go for that deal. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from the First, for what purpose do you rise?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire the Senator from the Second?
The Senator from the Second, do you yield? Senator from the Second, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. Just a couple of questions. You mentioned earlier that we're playing the hand that we were dealt, correct? And it's a hand that was dealt to us by the Republican Party.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. You and I sit on appropriations together.
Yes.
It's sad that $8 million isn't a lot of money anymore, isn't it?
Depends on the big scheme of things, when you look at a $23 billion budget where most of it is federal money.
That's always convenient.
Yeah.
When we want to, you know, show that a certain amount of money isn't a lot of money, then we add the federal
right.
money in that we have no control over,
right.
or those monies that are delegated funds to different areas,
True.
Dedicated. Right? So
True.
we have control over about a third of the budget.
Right,
right?
About $7 billion.
And for me to figure out, you know, I'm not as sharp as the senator from Andrew, you know, as far as figuring out what $8 million is of $7 billion. I still think $8 million is a lot of the taxpayers' money. Okay? So, you know, we've got that. We're playing the hand we're dealt. $8 million is a lot of money or is not a lot of money. I happen to think it is a lot of money.
I think it is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea how long we were a caucus state?
Well, I think probably, gosh, up until, what, 88 from however many years?
From 1821, when we became a state, to 1988. Again, we don't have to do the math,
yeah.
but it's not like we're trying to, you know, put in front of the people of Missouri something that they weren't familiar
True.
With, right?
True. Yeah,
okay, we were a caucus state for most of our history until... Dick Gephardt wanted to be president.
That's correct.
Okay. What are we actually doing in this February primary? Are we electing a president?
No.
Are the people of Missouri, the people that do participate in this process, are they electing a president?
No.
No. Actually, the parties are actually putting forth their candidate for president. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So I'm curious, in this bill, how does it handle the Constitution Party? That I'm sure will be on the ballot. How does
yeah,
it
sure.
they handle the same way as the Republican and Democrats? Or does the Constitution Party get to decide how they will handle the picking of their candidate for president?
Yeah.
That's the way it works?
Yes.
Okay. So in the last presidential primary that we had in the state of Missouri, about 11% of the population of Missouri participated in that.
Yeah.
11%.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Was there something that we did to disenfranchise the other registered voters at the time as far as them not participating in that presidential primary?
No.
So we've got 6 million people in our state. We've got roughly 4 million registered voters, and about 25% of the registered voters participated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it probably depends on whether it snows or not.
Right.
And we've got a lot of our colleagues here that are worried about us disenfranchising voters. But this is really about something that we can't control, and it's really about the parties
right.
picking their candidate
Right.
to put on the ballot in November
Correct.
For the people of Missouri then to choose who the next president of the United States will be.
Correct.
And that's the way the process works.
That's the way it works.
Okay. So whether those are all factors or not, the factor for me is we're going to be staring a $400 million deficit in
Correct.
The face.
At least.
At least in our next budget cycle. You and I have served
yes, we do.
On the Appropriations Committee. I've served on budget or appropriations for 7 to 9 years I've been down here. And $8 million is nothing to sneeze at when, like you've said, this is out of our control. This is something that has been hoisted on us by the party.
Correct.
So we play the hand we were dealt.
Correct.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from St. Francis, what purpose do you rise?
To speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm going to make it brief, but this is my bill I'm carrying, so I think I should speak on both the amendments. I'll do them together. You know, it sounds like the statewide races have already begun, so I guess I better get my sound bites in for my campaign. So first, I want to say, Mr. President, I was for this amendment before I was against it. It was my original bill, but now I'm firmly against it. So make sure you make note of that. And as far as this causing a mess, it can't be as messed up in the election as this special session has been. To my colleague from the 13th, it's not about leading the train, it's about getting run over by the train, because this ain't going anywhere, and if we spend $8 million bucks on stupidity, it makes no sense.
As far as my colleague from up north, the great Northwest, I didn't have time to go back and see his vote on Prop B or redoing the energy, the amount of energy that has to be in renewable energy, the will of the people, the will of the people. But I would bet that he voted against the will of the people on those occasions. This is a practical matter, Mr. Speaker. Madam President, we've got to do, thank you, threw me off here. And well, my colleague from the great central part of the state, and he's getting this parasite protests in D.C. and in New York City. I don't quite understand it, but he understands them. These people are disenfranchised. I guess so. The amount of pot they're smoking, it's about like Boone County, I guess, up there in the city of Columbia. They're higher than kites. If you understand that, Senator, you're a better man than me. I'd like to travel, Madam President. I think a lot of people know that. I'd like to visit a caucus. Never have, and could be a fun place. Madam President, at this time, all these people are talking about the response they've had, so I'd like to give you a list of all the people, my constituents of the 180,000 that are far wasting $8 million that have contacted me and said we must vote. Thank you, Madam President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 15th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To speak against the amendment.
Proceed.
Or the amendment to the amendment. And I appreciate the senator from Nottoway agreeing with me and I think many others that to go the way of the caucus, which is, by the way, a mountain range, which I think is what he was referencing, but also I think a step backwards in our democracy here. I appreciate his point of view on that. However, the reason why I offered the amendment that had it in March was to try to balance two things, and the senator from the 23rd referenced this. I, too, as I argued during regular session, the ability for us to keep the full number of delegates is an important consideration. The idea of having millions of people weigh in as opposed to thousands of people weigh in is critical. I think 1.4 million people voted in the last presidential primary. I think, okay, 1.4 million, we're talking about 8 million being a lot of money. 1.4 million people is a lot of people. And it's a lot more than 10 or 20,000 that might show up to this caucus. Because most of the people that I represent, they get up, they go to work, they have a family, they if they get a couple hours at night to read a book or watch the Cardinal game, they're lucky. They are not trekking to some, you know, undisclosed location until a few days before so they can caucus all day, okay, whatever that is, many cauci. But the reason why March is in there is to have a reasonable opportunity, as the senator from Buchanan has articulated, for the party to be able to make way to make that presidential primary be able to have our full delegation. So that's why I am opposed to the senator from Nottoway's amendment to move that to January, because I think March gives us the best chance to have the ideal circumstance. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Boone is the first senator I heard. Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Inquire, Senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I believe you said that we were assured if we move to March that our delegates get seated.
No. I said I think that gives us the best opportunity.
Okay, I want to be clear on that because we don't have any assurance.
No. But we right, and we also don't have any assurance that if we, and this was my debate with the senator from second, that if we do this and we say we make it March, we don't know for sure that that won't happen. Okay. So we just don't know right now.
I was making sure I was clear on that.
And actually, your idea is interesting. That I think I heard you reference about binding. I think that's, I don't know enough about it at this point, but I think that's something worth exploring.
We may be able to talk about that.
Right.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks.
Madam President.
Senator from Boone.
May I inquire the senator from the 13th?
Senator from the 13th is not in the chamber.
Senator from the 13th.
Senator from the 13th.
Right there.
Senator from the 13th, do you, is working his way. Senator from the 13th, do you yield for inquiry? He yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Senator, earlier when you were having a conversation with the senator from the 12th, I did note that you made a statement that caught my attention where you made a comment, something to the effect of, we don't think that we'll have anyone else on the ballot on your side of the equation other than the, you know, the current president of the United States. But I want to clarify that. Do you know that for sure?
No, I do not.
Okay, so what's going to happen? Because this whole conversation that we're having here is all in terms of the state Republican Party and the state Republican Party's relationship with the national Republican Party. And I'm curious, and maybe you don't know, you might not, but I'm curious, have those discussions occurred on the other side of the fence in your party on what's going to happen if somebody does pop up and there is another candidate on the ballot? So is the Democrat Party going to require a primary, or have they already agreed to go to a caucus system? Because if they're
they have not contacted me or publicized that they're going to a caucus system.
Okay.
So
because if they're not, then the Republican Party may go to a caucus system, but the Democrat Party may still require a primary.
Right. No, that's a valid issue too.
Right. And
the other thing they. Now that you have me up, is that the only question you had for me?
That's really my only question. Just
the other thing is, people need to realize they sit here and talk about caucuses. Now, when you do a caucus and you get to the delegate process, it's not just a one-meeting process.
Right.
You caucus in your Democratic township. Then you have to meet at your congressional caucus, which is number two. Then you have to caucus at the state convention. There's actually three caucuses in the process to selecting delegates to go to the convention. It's a very tedious process if you want to be a delegate, both on the Republican side and Democratic side. So it's pretty tedious.
Sounds like it.
Just do it once. That's all you need to do it. I'll never do it again.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you.
Senator from the 24th.
Just briefly on the amendment and the amendment to the amendment.
Proceed.
First of all, I think the amendment is the right thing to go to a primary as opposed to a caucus. I think for those that look at this as an opportunity to save $8 million or are concerned about the cost of $8 million primary, I think clearly elections are public goods, and our focus here should be on providing, in the most efficient way, public goods. And so until we hear from the people that they want us to start to change the election process, I think we should stick with the primary election process. And then to the extent that the amendment to the amendment moves from the February to the January date, I'm going to support that because kind of just more of a human nature, the fact that we've gone to February and the party told us that our votes won't count, our delegates won't be seated, my reaction is, well, then fine, then we'll go to January. If we're not going to count in February, we might as well go to January, and I appreciate the Senator from Nottoway's diligent research to show that January is the earliest that we could actually do this primary. So if they're not going to be seated, we should do it at the earliest time possible, so I'm going to support the amendment to the amendment.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from Green, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Madam President. I just listened to the discussion here, and I feel compelled to stand on behalf of the people that I've talked to in my district. I have attended caucus several times, and I think it should be pointed out, and perhaps my colleagues understand, that even if we have a primary, we will still have a caucus system to actually select the choose the delegates. But the way, if we had acted before the deadline that was clearly stated, I realized that we did pass the bill in the spring, those delegates after the primary would have only been bound to the candidate that won the primary on the first ballot. And after they cast the first ballot, they could then go and vote for whoever they wanted to, which I think was discussed earlier. But because we did not act prior to the date that was stated a few moments ago, we're now in this situation where we have a pending primary that's on the books, on the statutes, and the state party, which is actually, they're tasked with selecting the delegates to go to a convention to choose their candidate. We're going to have a lot of constituents that are going to the ballot box thinking that they're casting a ballot for a candidate for president when they're actually not. That is a real possibility for disenfranchisement. So it may be popular to stand on the floor and say that we don't want to take away the vote of the people. Regardless of what we do, we're not taking away the vote of the people. They can still participate in the process. But the responsible thing to do at this point, because we did not get it done prior to the deadline, is to cancel the primary for this upcoming year, because it doesn't mean anything in the actual selection of the delegates. Now, I've been to four caucuses in the times that I've been involved in the political process. And as the senator from the 13th correctly pointed out, it's not just one-time meeting. You go to your county caucus, then you go to your congressional district caucus, and then you go to the state convention. Even if we have a primary, that's still the process. But at this point, because the state party changed the rules in response to our failure to get it done before the deadline, they are not even going to be bound on the first ballot. They're not going to be bound at all. So let's tell the people the truth. And let's put the thing to rest. Thank you, Madam President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Hearing none, Senator from Nottoway, you are recognized to close.
Thank you. I close.
Senator from Nottoway has renewed his motion that Senate Amendment Number 2 to Senate Amendment Number 2 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. Senator from the 13th.
If I could get four of my colleagues standing, I'd like a roll call on this.
Roll call has been requested. There are five members standing. You will have your roll call. Madam Secretary, please call the roll of the Missouri Senate.
Senators Brown,
yes.
Callahan,
no.
Chappelle Nadal,
aye.
Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey,
no.
Dixon,
no.
Engler,
no.
Goodman, Green,
yes.
Justice, Kevany, Kehoe,
no.
Kraus,
no.
Lager,
aye.
Lamping,
yes.
Lemke,
no.
Mayor,
no.
McKenna,
aye.
Munslinger,
no.
Nieves,
no.
Parson,
no.
Pierce, Ferguson,
aye.
Richard,
no.
Ridgeway,
aye.
Roop,
no.
Schaff,
no.
Schaefer,
aye.
Schmidt,
no.
Stouffer,
no.
Wasson,
no.
Wright Jones.
No.
Yes, Senator. For what purpose do you seek recognition?
Votes no.
Thank you. By your vote of 10-aye, 22-no, the motion fails. We're back on the amendment of the senator from the 15th. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Lawrence, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President, to speak in favor of the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Madam President. We have heard a lot of discussion on this. We've heard a lot of meritorious perspectives from different sides. We've heard where other places that the cost of this primary election could be spent, and that was presented to us as a choice between wasted money on letting the people vote on a presently meaningless primary election, or going to some things that a lot of us value and that our constituents value. I think that is a false choice. I think we are in a window of time right now when the Senate has an opportunity to act when we didn't act before, giving the state Republican Party an opportunity to undo something that I think they did not really want to do in the first place. and hopefully the Republican National Committee will give them the leave to do that. Because the result of those things not happening is that a meaningful voice is not given to over 5 million people in a state that, as has been said over and over more articulately this evening, a great microcosm of the nation we live in. The people I represent, and I think the people all of us represent, are very concerned and very eager to participate in the decisions that are coming in the next year. I think many Americans feel we are at a crossroads in this nation. Whether you think we need to keep current leadership or choose new leadership, I don't know a constituent who does not want and value, and frankly, many of them feel pretty darn willing to fight for their opportunity to be heard in that process. They feel they are not being heard loudly enough today. The last thing they want is for their voice to be further muted. We have a window of time to undo some things that happened in the last 2.5 weeks. And really, that's what's happened. We have missed a deadline to change a law by 2.5 weeks. If the Missouri legislature had the authority to dictate how the national election process went along, then I would have voted in favor of the amendment to the amendment. I would like to move Missouri's voice earlier so that we can be heard and have a greater shape or a greater voice in shaping what happens nationally. That's not the reality. There are certain things the legislature can shape, and in this process, there's more that the state party and the national party gets to shape. What we do know today is if we go earlier or we stay on the date that we presently have, we're stuck with the caucus system. If we correct it today, I think there is at least a reasonable possibility, maybe I'm optimistic, I think a good possibility, that the parties can have a couple of quick votes and give our people their voices back. That, to me, is worth 0.023% of the money that we are taking from these same people who want to have their voices heard so that this nation can get better, so that they can choose a leader who can help make better rules and a better climate so these people who want their voices heard can get back to work, and the people they love can get back to work, and their schools can be funded because the economy will be better. This, I think, is one of the most important national election cycles that we've seen, at least in my short lifetime. And I am in a position right now that a lot of Missourians, a lot of people across the country don't enjoy. I get to serve in a state senate, and I get to have a direct voice in a lot of decisions that affect lives that most people don't get to have that direct voice in. And when I think about the prospect in this 2012 presidential primary that I couldn't go to the polls and vote in a primary by checking a ballot, but that I would have to go participate in this caucus system, figure out how that works. And it would probably be easier for me to figure out how that works, given the job that I have, than it would be for a lot of the other people in my community that want their voice to be heard. That makes me angry. And if I sit in this seat in the Missouri Senate, and I'm angry about my voice being taken away, and I don't do what I can to encourage the Missouri Republican Party and the National Party, A, to have the opportunity, because we will have acted, to change their course, and B, to encourage them to change their course and show that we are not a party where elite closed-room decision-making is going to happen, but where we are a party for the people that want to get the entire nation back to work and in a better course. We need to give the folks that get to make these decisions the opportunity to do it by correcting our failure to act a short 2.5 weeks ago. I believe if we do that tonight, we can get things back to where they need to be for the people who are frustrated and silenced at this moment.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. Inquire the senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, do you yield? He yields. Proceed.
Okay, Senator, I'm going to buy a little time while I'm having my amendment that I had drafted to the previous amendment to the amendment drafted to your amendment. But I want to make sure, because if we go with your amendment and we change this to, is it March 6th, that we're doing it for a reason. Mm-hmm. And we're still not going to be told, well, yeah, you all just go ahead and do that. But we're going to go ahead and have this caucus process, again, which I think we've heard a myriad of reasons why is not as preferential for most of the people, at least that I've heard from, and I think others in this room have as well, to the primary system. So why not make it count? And what my amendment will do, again, is say that no presidential candidate shall appear on a ballot for the office of the President of the United States in a presidential election unless such candidate has appeared on a presidential preference primary for that presidential election.
So let me follow that, I guess, logically. So what if your amendment goes on...
Mm-hmm. Then we have a primary on March 6th.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But theoretically, if the party doesn't successfully move it to March 6th, we won't have a primary? Is that what your amendment does?
No, we're going to have to have a primary.
Right, but I mean, the way I havenven't seen it, the way I hear that is their name can't... That party's...
We
if
have
you're
to
a Republican
have a,
running for president, your name can't appear on the ballot? Is that what
you
mean?
We have to have a primary. And for you to be a candidate for president on the ballot in the general, your name had to appear on the ballot in the primary.
Oh, I see. So what you're saying is that you can't be... You can't win the caucus...
Unless you were on the
unless
primary.
Unless we had our primary?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't say who. It just says you have to appear on
Okay, so let's say... Okay, so let's say... what's that?
It doesn't say that... It has
what if
the primary
winner has a scandal? Like what the good luck of the senator from the 13th had?
It doesn't say the primary winner.
Okay. I'm just trying to play out the scenarios because this is the first time we've talked about it. So,
right, and that's why I'm inquiring of you to figure out the practical effect. What I don't like, and I think what a lot of our colleagues have voiced, is what I believe, regardless of how much pot people in Columbia may smoke, is disenfranchisement of anybody, whether they're from Columbia or St. Louis or Kansas City or Cape Girardeau or anywhere else.
A lot of those people voted for you, Senator.
A handful of people in a party to decide who the candidate's going to be. And
right.
I think that people want to go and vote in a primary, and they want to make sure that their vote in the primary had some impact.
No, I'm with you on that.
And so if we're going to do this, and I don't like March, because I agree with the senator from the 13th, that, frankly, it's done at that point. But I still think...
What I don't know is if what you're, not intentionally, but if what you're offering is some sort of a poison pill to having a...
No, it's not. It's not. And that's why I'm inquiring of you. And I'm probably going to inquire of some of our other colleagues as well, because I just want to think it through. But at least to me, it's somewhat of a safeguard to make sure that the will of the voters is at least carried through.
Okay. Is this accurate? That the vote of the primary binds the caucuses?
To one of the candidates, yes, that was in the primary.
So let's just say Romney wins primary.
Mm-hmm.
Perry wins caucus.
Mm-hmm.
Our delegates are bound to Romney?
Well, they could actually... I mean, it doesn't say the winner of the primary. It's not the winner. So, yes, they could do that. But what they can't do is pick somebody that Missouri voters didn't even vote for and through the caucus process say, that's going to be our candidate. Because, again, I mean, another thing that you've got, especially when you've got a caucus system in a state that doesn't have party registration, there's quite a bit of room for mischief there. And so at least I think that the party should be bound to whoever the actual general public in the state of Missouri actually had a shot at voting on in the primary.
So what you're... Okay, this is another way to look at it. What you're offering makes the caucus meaningless. And I'm okay with that, actually.
It makes it more meaningless, yes. You could look at it that
right.
way. It doesn't make it completely meaningless, but it makes it operate within certain confines.
Well, from a legal standpoint, can we do that, though? I mean,
yes, we can.
If the discussion has been...
I think we can.
The party controls what the delegates do.
That's correct, but it's undisputed that the General Assembly controls access to the ballot. To the ballot box. We do.
Okay, I get that.
Right, and that's
But how does that deal with...
We're not telling them how to pick, and that's why we're not saying... Because arguably, maybe if we said... They could only go with the winner of the primary, that may be pushing a little too far. And that may run into some problems.
Right.
But I don't think this language does.
Well, I'll let you and others inquire, and then
okay.
Is that being distributed? So
It's just going to be read, but I'm having it addressed. Madam President.
Senator from Boone.
May I inquire the Senator from the 12th?
Senator from the 12th, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thanks, Senator.
All right, so, Senator, you've heard my discussion with Senator from the 15th.
Here's my knee-jerk. My first thought was what this would actually do. This would strengthen the hand of our state party to go back to the national party and request a waiver to get out of this caucus situation. Because what they could say is, we now have the ability to do it in March, but if we don't have this presidential primary, we have a potential problem of getting the candidate on the ballot in November.
It's a big potential problem, yes.
So what this would actually do is strengthen the hand of undoing what has happened because the window was missed.
That's
the
correct.
August 1st window was missed.
Yes, that's correct.
This I actually like. This ensures the people are going to get their voice. It doesn't say who they have to go with, but as a side effect in the current, to use the term the Senator from the second talked about, dealing with the cards, playing the cards we've been dealt. We've been dealt a hand right now, so we've got to figure out how to move back one step.
Right.
And this may strengthen our hand. Actually, this would strengthen the hand.
It would.
In getting that done.
Right, and I believe that
I think this is a good amendment. I support your amendment, Senator. Thank you.
Now, it doesn't solve our problem of the fact that we're going to March. And
well, I mean, you know, I personally would like to have it in January, but, you know, the will of the body was not that, and so that it is what it is. I will now move forward and support the will of the body, which I hope is elections with your amendment. So we've got to pass your amendment, and then we've got to adopt the amendment for the senator from the 15th, and then that will, I think, fix the underlying substitute. I actually view your amendment, Senator, as a strengthening of the hand of the state party to get the waiver from the federal party.
I agree with that.
There's the reason to do it. Not to mention it's just good public policy.
It is, because I think you have to recognize that there has to be some flexibility in the system, but also I think the voters of the state who vote in the primary have to have some understanding that they're voting for a reason and there's some impact from what the message is.
What this actually does is this makes the senator from the 15th, I was trying to make his amendment better because it has some shortcomings. This actually gives that amendment some teeth.
It actually does.
Because right now what could happen is we could pass this amendment.
Yes.
We could pass this bill, but the national party not grant us the waiver.
That's right.
And therefore, we're still in the same spot we're at.
That's correct.
With your amendment, it really increases the intensity or the need. It almost makes it imperative that they grant the waiver or the Republican nominee would not be on the ballot. We probably need to think very long and hard about this. The Republican nominee not being on the ballot may not be a good thing. It might be the only way the current president wins re-election in Missouri. But, Senator, I think you're moving the right direction here. I think we can make this work.
This is your inquiry, Senator.
That's what these.
Whoops, I thought there were three senators on the floor.
Thank you, Madam President. May I inquire the senator now, from? I'm sorry.
Just real quick, I just wanted to clarify. Your amendment does not say that it has to be the winner, just that they had to be on the ballot.
Right.
The presidential primary ballot.
That's right. So the thing is, we're going to have, if the senator from the 15th amendment goes on and we pass this, we are going to have a primary.
Yes.
Someone is going to appear on the primary.
Correct.
So we're going to have a primary.
This is good, Senator, this is good government.
It is.
Yep. He has, Madam President, he has the floor.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Madam President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 22nd, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
From Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Yep. Proceed.
I really don't have a dog in this fight. This is kind of between your party, unless something drastic
happens.
Well,
that's right. I mean, you need to think about that because it is.
It reverts back in 2016, I believe.
Well, it does.
Underlying. But let me give you a scenario.
Okay.
Here. Let's say that Mitt Romney's not on the presidential primary, and then you have, God forbid, Bachman, Ron Paul, mm-hmm. Perry, mm-hmm. God forbid, Palin.
Mm-hmm.
And Romney gets enough delegates to be the presidential nominee in November. And if he wasn't on the ballot in our presidential primary, he will not be listed on the ballot to run for governor in Missouri.
That would be correct. That's why I think it's incumbent on every candidate to not ignore the state of Missouri and the voters of the state of Missouri and actually not consider this flyover country and come to the state and let the voters of the state know what they stand for. And if they can't do a minimum of that, then they shouldn't be on the ballot anyway.
I was just getting that clear. That would be an amazing scenario if that would happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Inquire my friend and colleague in the legal profession from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
Yes.
He yields. Proceed.
Okay, so I think I'm starting to understand. And I like the idea of adding a little bit more teeth to this idea of making the primary what moves the delegates in a particular direction. The only issue I'm seeing in playing devil's advocate here is sort of where he was going. Let's just say Rick Perry is not, and I don't know how this would happen, but none of us can foresee all of this, is not on, not in the not on the in the primary election.
So Rick Perry doesn't think enough to come to Missouri and file.
Whatever. Maybe he doesn't get enough. Maybe his staff screws something up. I don't know what the reason would be. But let's just say he's not on the primary.
Okay.
They go, and there's a crazy, there's a brokered convention, which would be fantastic. Never happens anymore. There's a brokered convention. Rick Perry, in an exciting ratings event on NBC, wins the Republican nomination. And then in November, here comes the candidates. Rick Perry versus Barack Obama. And I can't vote for the Republican running against Barack Obama. That would be difficult for me to accept. I would feel disenfranchised at that point.
So in your scenario, Barack Obama comes to the state of Missouri and files and says, I care about the people of the state of Missouri. And in your scenario, Rick Perry doesn't do it. And we're saying, oh, well, hey, you didn't think about us before, but hey, can we vote for you anyway? You know what? That would affect my vote right there that somebody didn't think enough of the state of Missouri.
I'm not going to ask you how you would vote in that scenario. Because you've got a lot of – you're up in 12, too. And but I like the idea, but I do think that if you play it out, there is a scenario that could exist where at least 50% of the population that would vote for the Republican would not have a chance to vote for the Republican against the Democrat. And I don't think that's what you're intending to do, but it is possible.
Well, we're going to have a scenario now where we're going to have a primary, arguably on March 6th, and the people of the state of Missouri are going to vote for who they want, and we're going to know who comes in first and second and third, and then we're going to have a state party that ignores that completely and says we're going to have a caucus system and we're going to decide who the
candidate is going to be. No, I understand, but we still are allowing people to make that decision. I mean, the way I view that is empowering the electorate to make a decision, not taking a choice away from them in November, which theoretically your amendment might do.
No, I think what it does, it empowers the electorate by making sure that the candidate that's chosen is somebody that was voted on by the...
Well, I want them to come here too, but I can assure you that the Republican won't come here if we can't vote for him in November.
Well, maybe after the convention...
He wouldn't. If he's not on the ballot, he ain't coming.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to offer the amendment. You have the floor now, but when you're done, I'm going to offer the amendment.
I think it's well-intentioned.
And we'll vote it up or down, and I'm happy to go with however it shakes out.
Okay. Thanks.
Madam President.
Senator from Boone.
I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. Madam Secretary,
I'd ask that it be read. It's very short.
Please have the amendment read.
Senate Amendment Number 3 to Senate Amendment Number 2, offered by Senator Schaefer. Amend Senate Amendment Number 2 to Senate Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 3, page 1, line 12, by inserting immediately after the word, quote, lines, close quote, the following. quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, section 1, no presidential candidate shall appear on a ballot for the office of the President of the United States for an established political party in a presidential election unless such candidate has appeared on a presidential preference primary for that presidential election, close quote, and further amend the title and enacting clause accordingly.
Senator from Boone, would you like to move for the adoption of the amendment?
Yes, Madam President, I move for the adoption of the amendment. It's self-explanatory. It's what we've been discussing, but I'm happy to go with the will of the body, but I think we need to put some teeth into the amendment from the senator from the 15th, and I think we need to watch out on behalf of the voters of the state of Missouri that actually their votes count, and I think this is about the only way left with what we've got in this process to do that.
Senator from Boone has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment to Senate Amendment Number 2. Does any senator desire to be heard on that pending motion? Senator from St. Charles, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. May I inquire the senator from Boone?
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields. Proceed.
Is this another plank in the Attorney Full Employment Act?
How would that be?
Well, not only are we going to spend $8 million for something that's going to be meaningless, we're now going to, in addition to that...
I thought you were for spending the $8 million.
We're going to spend... Then I didn't do a good job explaining myself. We're going to spend, in addition to that, money to defend ourselves against a federal lawsuit that the party would file against the state.
What federal lawsuit would that be, Senator?
Well, I mean, your argument gets to the whole process that we have where the state was able to go create a caucus system for the selection of the president outside of the wishes of the legislature. And I would think the federal election law is going to trump anything we do here. I go back and look at the vote on term limits that we had in this state. Mm-hmm. At the time that it was passed, it applied to federal office holders as well.
Right.
But then that was struck down.
Yes.
And I think I understand what you're trying to do, but I have serious reservations about its legal standing.
Well, I know that the state party doesn't like it, but, you know, I think it is our role to watch out for voters of the state of Missouri over what the state party wants and how the state party can control the system and what they want to do in the process. I think at a minimum, if we're going to have a national party that's going to dictate to the state party what we're going to do and how the state of Missouri has to conduct business, we have to do something to push back on that. Again, you know, I don't see a federal lawsuit there at all. I think this is completely different than trying to impose term limits on federal office holders, which clearly we cannot do. But, you know, I'm willing to go by vote of the body.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I think we need to make some effort to watch out for voters. But,
you know, I understand the point.
It's the proverbial slippery slope from law school. We just keep going down and down and down. And pretty soon, you know, maybe I'll be out there with the Tea Party or the Occupy Wall Street people because my voice won't be heard either.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion from the senator from Boone? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Boone has renewed his motion that Senate Amendment Number 2 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
No's appear to have it. No's do have it. The amendment is defeated. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion from the senator from the 15th? Seeing none, Senator, recognized to close.
Very brief. We are back on the amendment to have the primary in not a caucus, but the primary in March. And I would just say that as we stand here, I mean, this is an important issue. We're talking about people voting for who they want to be president of the United States and the leader of the free world. So as we sit here or stand here in this cathedral dedicated to democracy, let us not collectively take an enormous pickaxe to the very foundation of our democracy, and let's let the people decide. Thank you, Madam President.
The senator from the 15th has renewed his motion that Senate Amendment Number 2 to Senate Substitute for House Bill Number 3 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The senator from the 15th.
I would ask for four of my colleagues for a roll call vote.
you have the requisite number standing for a roll call vote. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 24th votes no. By your vote of 12 aye, 20 no, the amendment fails. We're back on the motion of the senator from St. Francis. Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from St. Francis.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield?
I want to...
He yields. Proceed.
No. I want to make clear that we are, and I'm going to vote against your motion anyway, but we are just doing it for... this presidential primary.
Exactly right.
It will go back to February in 2016.
Right, and we may have to revisit it at that point, because I'm telling you, if the national scene doesn't understand that they need to make some changes, because I totally agree with you, why is Iowa
and New Hampshire... Why does everybody agree with me and then vote against me?
Well, I've done it before. So this isn't unprecedented. But I think that they're going to recognize the fact that we've got to address that. And the fact that especially in my party, to let a very small state that doesn't represent a broad base of people decide who our candidate is not wise, and I think they'll revisit that, and so we'll be revisiting it. But this does not change that. In 2016, as it is now, we would vote on it in February.
And I just am going to continue to be against eliminating. I voted against the march because it takes us out of the ball game, in my opinion, but I'm going to vote... go into a caucus system as opposed to a presidential primary.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam President.
Senator from the 13th.
If I can get four of my colleagues standing, I'd like a roll call on this, that whichever way it goes, we can still see.
Senator from the 13th has requested a roll call vote.
Thank you.
There are the requisite numbers standing. Senator, you will have a roll call vote. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion from the senator from St. Francis? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize to close.
Madam President, I close.
Senator from St. Francis has renewed his... We are on the motion to adopt the substitute. Senator, are we okay? Okay, yes. Senator from St. Francis has renewed his motion for the adoption of Senate substitute to House Bill number 3. We have a roll call requested. Madam Secretary, please call the roll of Missouri Senate.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones. Did you?
Senator from the first. Senator from the ninth, would you please repeat your vote? By your vote of 16 aye, 16 no, the motion fails. Senator, we are back on House Committee substitute for House Bill number 3, Senator from St. Francis.
Madam President.
Senator from St. Francis.
I think this is a fitting finality to this special session. Could we stand at ease for a second?
Seeing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come to session, come to order. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Madam President. It's with great pride in the ineffectiveness of this body that we're going to have a February primary that cost $8 million that means absolutely nothing. So for those of you senators that voted against this and screwed it up in the spring, quite honestly, in addition to screwing it up now, don't ever tell the public that we do good work over here, because this is bizarre. I don't know what we're trying to prove, but we're not getting it done. And with that, I would like to make the effective motion of laying this on the informal calendar. Thank you, Madam President.
Bill will be laid on the informal calendar. Senator from St. Charles.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, suddenly the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Senator from Nottoway.
Can I inquire of the senator from the 23rd?
Senator from the 23rd, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
I'm trying to figure out what the options are here. So the first option, which is the course we started down, would be to do nothing and we still have a primary in February. The second option would be to take the underlying bill and take out the fees, which would move it to March.
Right, which we already had a vote on that. That's what the senator from the 15th amendment would have been, the language with a March primary.
If it is a... Well, the situation's different now, I would have to believe, but I guess my thought process is here is if it's a March primary, can the party get the waiver from the national to still do the vote? I mean, I guess we still have an option here, but you're right. We've had that vote once. The question is, will everybody vote the same way or will they change? So, okay, that was my question, Senator. Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam President.
We're on the order of business of announcements. Seeing no further announcements, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned for a technical session until 12 o'clock noon, Tuesday, October 26th, 2011. October 25th. Sorry.
Senator, you've heard the motion from the senator from the 23rd. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The House will stand in adjournment until 12. The Senate will stand in adjournment until 12 noon, October 25th, Tuesday.